great week at State Conference up in Port Macquarie. I don't know how to do it if you were there. It was like four people got that joke, but that's okay. It was just an amazing week, and we've got like DVDs of some of the sessions, so get that. But I'm just excited to be here in my church, in our church, home at City Life. And I really encourage you never to take for granted the place that God has put you, because God has put us here for a purpose. And it's not about like where you go or what amazing guest or place that you travel to, but it's God has planted you in this house for a reason. And don't take that for granted. Don't miss out on that and what God wants to do with you right here, because God has something for you to do right here. I totally believe that. So like, get amongst it, yeah? You know, today is awesome, and we've talked a bit about like this one day offering, and we're going to receive that later, and we've talked about the community action, and there's just so many great opportunities to do something really practical, like about what God's doing around the world, and just to help people. And that's awesome. That's fantastic, and I love it. And I love that like as a church that we can do that, because it's really what the church is called to do and what we're supposed to do, yeah? And so it's so easy for us to make a real difference in somebody's life. You know, I've been lately just thinking about just how rich we really are. And even if you don't feel like you've got much money, just like compared to the world, we are just so wealthy. So wealthy, and we have been given that for a reason, and like it's just the grace of where you were born that meant that you live in a blessed country where you have all of your needs provided for is so incredible. But you know, let's not like just take that upon ourselves and think that that's all good and happy for me, that I'm lucky that I was born here, so yay. But let's do something about the injustice in our world, amen, because that's what we're called to do, and that's why you're here, and that's why you've got it. So like, these things are so incredible, and honestly, like I want people to do it, but I don't feel like I want to sit here and like try and convince you that you should do these things, because you know, I'm not going to be able to convince you by telling you that you need to do it. I think you should just do it. Like, really, just, I'm serious, just do it. So tonight, I really want to talk about the heart that is behind, like, living for God and giving into missions and into the one day and into the needs of our world. Because, you know, I think it's easy to look at these things and do them because they're a good cause. Yeah, and I think like our culture, and particularly our generation, are like really aware of good causes. Yeah, and whether like I think you can pretty much, you know, you can dress yourself head to toe in things that are for a cause. Yeah, like you can buy shoes that will help somebody, and shirts that will help somebody, and you know, everything. You can buy water that will help somebody. Like there's no shortage of good causes, and those things are great. Like, they're amazing, and I encourage you, like, you know, if you're going to buy shoes or a shirt anyway, then why not make it something that's going to make a difference? But don't think that is the heart of God for people, and that when we do that we are fulfilling the call of God on our lives, yeah? Because that's such a little thing, you know? But, and like, missions and justice, they're not good causes, and God cared about it long before it was popular, so, like, we need to get that is the heart of God. It's not just a good idea, but it's God's heart for people, yeah? And so if we are serious about following God, and we would say, yeah, I'm giving it all away, and I'm going to follow you, God, then that needs to be my heart as well. You know, I need to care about people because God cares about people, yeah? So that's what I want to talk about tonight. I'm excited. I think the how is really easy. Like, we've given you options tonight. Just tonight, you've got options on how you can do something about the need. So the thing I really want to talk about is the why, yeah? The question is your heart. And when you resolve the question of your heart, then the how is a moot point. Like, it's so easy. I'm going to pray. God, I thank you so much for your presence here. God, I thank you for every person that's here tonight, and that not one of us is here by accident, but you have something to speak into every single life and every single heart tonight. God, I pray that you would challenge us with your word, and you would just speak so clearly, God. And I pray that you would just help me just to speak what you have to say and nothing of my own, God. Amen. I was reading a whole bunch of Bible today, and I was reading about a couple of guys that I want to share about, and I kind of really felt like there was this, like God was really trying to tell me something, and I'm really hoping that tonight I can just kind of not stuff it up. So we're going to get into it. These guys are a father and a son called Josiah and Salem. If you're, you know, Jewish and I pronounced those wrong, I'm sorry, but I'm going to go with that. These guys were two kings of Judah. So in like historical Israel, you know, there was Israel and there was Judah. And these guys were kings. And so Salem was Josiah's son, who inherited the throne from him. And they were both young. They were both in their 20s, like when they were reigning Judah. You know, Josiah actually became king when he was 8 years old. Which is crazy. But so they were both like young guys, but they had really, really different hearts. And I was really struck by this and struck by the fruit of their life that comes out of the heart that they had. And so I want to talk about that and kind of the things, the questions that I got out of that for my heart. And I was reading in Luke 6 how it says in verse 43, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People don't pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." I was thinking about these guys' lives, and this will make sense a bit more as I get into it, but that verse really just, like, I just thought of that because it really is, out of your heart is what you will do. And when you think about missions and you think about the community action, and whether that's in a village in Vietnam or whether that's right here in Wollongong, like, it, out of your heart is going to come the thing that you do. And if you don't have it in your heart, then you're not going to do it. Amen. So I think there's a couple of things that I saw in these guys' lives that, like, I think are really good questions for my heart and for our hearts. Cool. Let's get into it, hey? I'm excited. The first thing is your heart for God's house, or is it for your own? Now, Josiah is this incredible king whose heart was for God's house. And if you've got your Bible, you can open up to 2 Kings 22, verse 1. And it says, "Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. His mother's name was Jedidiah, daughter of Adaiah. She was from Bozkath." You know, Bozkath? Anyone from Bozkath here tonight? No. Okay. "He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. And in the 18th year of his reign, King Josiah sent the secretary, Shaphan, son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam." Whatever. Come on. There's a, you know, Old Testament. You got to get it in there, those names. "To the temple of the Lord, and he said, 'Go up to you know, the high priest, and have him get ready the money that has been brought to the temple of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have collected from the people. Have them entrust it to the men appointed to supervise the work on the temple, and have these men pay the workers who repair the temple of the Lord, the carpenters, builders, and the masons. Also have them purchase timber and dress stone to repair the temple. But they need not to account for the money entrusted to them, because they are honest in their dealings.'" So this King Josiah, he realizes, like, at some point in his reign that the temple is in disrepair, and he says, "Let's rebuild God's house." And he commits himself to building the house of God, which is awesome. And then his son, though, does the exact opposite. And in Jeremiah 22, we hear this prophecy about Salem. I'll get it there. Shalom, whatever his name is, the son of Josiah. And it says this, "For this is what the Lord says about Shalom, son of Josiah, who succeeded his father as king of Judah, but has gone from this place. He'll never return. Woe to him who builds his palace by unrighteousness, his upper rooms by injustice, making his own people work for nothing, not paying them for their labor. He says, 'I'll build myself a great palace with spacious upper rooms.' So he makes large windows in it, panels it with cedar, and decorates it in red. Does it make you a king to have more and more cedar? Did not your father have food and drink? He did what was right and just, and so all went well with him. So rather than build the house of God, Shalom builds his own house." And Jeremiah is talking to him and saying, like, does it make you more of a king to have a bigger palace? Like, when you build yourself up more and more, is that going to make you a better king? Is that going to make you bigger? Is that going to make you stronger? You know, he says, rather than building the house of God, Shalom builds up his own house. Instead of caring for people, he rips people off to do it, yeah? So this is like, they're so opposite, these two guys. And so it's so easy, I think, for us to, you know, to get caught up building our own house and worried about what's going to happen and how I'm going to, like, be successful or do things, or what, like, I want to do with my life, what my career will be, what the thing is that I want to do. But that's not the heart of God. The heart of God is to follow him with everything and to build his house and let him build your house, amen? So when it comes to, like, our giving, or comes to our lives and to missions and One Day and community action and all of that, the question is, am I building my own house or am I building God's house? Yeah? And in Psalm 37, it says in verse 21, "The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land, but those he curses will be destroyed. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. That he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be a blessing. Turn from evil and do good, then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. Wrongdoers will be completely destroyed. The offspring of the wicked will perish. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever." Now, God promises that if we would seek him and we would build his house, then we will be just like righteous and washed clean, and that he will bless us, that he will build his house. He will build our house, and we don't have to worry about it. And I love that Josiah says, I'm going to build the house of God. I'm going to build the temple. And God blesses his life. And I'll get into it a bit more. And Shalom says, I'm going to build my own house. And he is destroyed. The guy is king for 3 months. 3 months. Whereas his father is king for 32 years. Because he built the house of God, you know. And I know in my own life that when I commit myself to building God's house, that he builds my house. And you don't have to be worried about your own needs or building up yourself, but just go after the things of God and build his house and build his kingdom and let him build your own. I think it's so easy for us just to think that you know, it's like about me and about what I can do, and that if I, like, get enough and I do enough and I'm successful enough that I'll be okay. But God just says, don't worry about all of that stuff. I know that you need those things to live, but seek me first, build my house, and I'll give you all of that. Amen? No, I love that. Like, I think we get to this thing where we think, oh, if I give God everything, then I'll have nothing. But that psalm says, you know, it says, I have never seen the children of the righteous forsaken or the children begging bread. And I love that. It's just like, that's a promise from God in his word. Amen? I just get it into your heart, yeah? When we give our lives to God, he will build our house. Don't try and build your own. The second question that I got from these guys' lives is your heart for yourself or is it for people? You know, Shalom's heart was for himself, to build himself up, to make himself rich. But this isn't the heart of God. And when you aren't living the heart of God, when your heart's the opposite to God's heart, then you distance yourself from God. But God's heart is for people, for the needy, for the oppressed, for the widow. And when we care for people, we connect our hearts to God. Now, Psalm 146, it says, He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but He frustrates the way of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Amen. God's heart is for people. And in Jeremiah 22, and this really just like hit me this afternoon as I was reading this. And Jeremiah 22:16 is talking about Josiah, and he says, He defended the cause of the poor and the needy, and so all went well. Is that not what it means to know me, declares the Lord? And I was like, wow, because usually you think like, I'll do good deeds and I'll do good things because, you know, it's the right thing to do and it's a good deed and I should do that because it's right. But God says, if you do the things that I care about, if you meet the needs of people, then isn't that how you know me? He says, I actually will get closer to God if I defend the cause of the needy. And He says, God says He knows Josiah because of what he did for the people in his world, amen? And so it's not just about doing what's right, it's actually about getting closer to God. And you know, when we talk about getting closer to God, we focus so much on like reading your Bible and praying and worshiping and listening to God, and all of that is right. All of that is true and all of that is good. But when we serve people, we connect with the heart of God. And it actually deepens our relationship with Him, amen? You know, say you've got a friend, and a really good friend. You don't just sit there looking at each other and saying, you're a really good friend of mine, and like that's all you do. Like you do things together, yeah? You connect because you have like similar passions or interests. You know, you share a heart if it's a deep relationship, yeah? And that connects you, and it's the same with God. And if we love God, then we don't just say, God, I love you. We care about what He cares about. We're interested in what He's interested in, yeah? We want to do the same things as Him, and so our hearts connect, yeah? No, I can't expect to have a good relationship with Rach if I just say that I care, but never do anything that she is interested in or like, share anything of a heart that she has, yeah? You can't just say to God, yeah, God, I worship you, I love you, but I don't actually care. Like the things that you're interested in, you know, they don't really interest me that much. I'm more into this. No, I'm not so much into like justice or the oppressed or the needy, you know. I'm more into other stuff. But I love you, God. Like, that doesn't work. And God says, you know, if you would connect with His heart and you would do the things that He has a heart for you to do, then you would actually get closer to Him, yeah? I think that's incredible. And He promises that when you do that He will bless us. In Isaiah 1:16, it says, wash and make yourself clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. God says, if you would just get your heart to align with mine, and you would do the things that I care about. I think it's really interesting that God says that He will uphold the cause of the fatherless and the widow, but then He tells us to do the same thing. So it's like, well, but God, you said that you would do it. And that's true. But He says we need to do it as well, because when you do something together, it builds relationship and it connects your heart and you can get closer to God. And He says that even though your sins are like scarlet, even though you've done all this stuff wrong, they will be white as snow, yeah? And if you are just willing and obedient, then you will eat the best from the land. We don't need to worry about like what we're going to get or what we're going to do or what like my future is. But if I serve God and I serve people and I do the thing that He has a heart for me to do and that He has a heart for, then it says that He will bless me. He will take care of me. He will build my house, yeah? I was really struck by that. You know, it's not just about not just about doing the right thing because it's a good cause, but it's about being close to God and connected in heart with Him. Amen. Now, these two kings, that they did vastly different things, and it shows in the fruit of their life. And in the Bible, like, there's all these summaries in Chronicles and in Kings and stuff about, like, kings and what they did and what happened to them. And it's really interesting. I want to read, like, the summaries of both of these guys. In 2 Kings 23, 25, it says, "Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his strength, in accordance with all the law of Moses." But about Shalom, who his name is also Jehoaz, it says in 2 Chronicles 36, 2-4, that Jehoaz was 23 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. The king of Egypt dethroned him in Jerusalem and imposed on Judah a levy of 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. And the king of Egypt made Eliakim, the brother of Jehoaz, king over Judah and Jerusalem, and changed Eliakim's name to Jehoiakim. But Necho, that's the Egyptian king, took Eliakim's brother Jehoaz and carried him off to Egypt. So here we have, like, the father, Josiah, who the Bible says there was nobody like him before or after, who sought God and did what he had and did everything in accordance with the law and did everything he could and just turned to God with his whole heart and his whole soul and his whole strength. And then you have Shalom, who reigned for 3 months and then was deposed by an Egyptian king and taken away, and his brother was given the throne, and he was taken to Egypt and never got back to Judah. Like, what? Look at the difference there. And I guess I was thinking, I don't know, which one would I prefer, like, as my obituary, as my, like, little bit in history about what I did with my life? Which one do I want there, yeah? You know, if we want to take seriously living for God, then it can't just be about a good cause or doing the things that we think are right because we think they're right. It needs to be a heart cry. It needs to be, man, like, God's heart is broken for these people, so my heart is broken for these people. And that's what it's about, yeah? It's not just a cause, but it's the cause. It's not just caring for someone's physical need, but it's caring enough to do anything you can to change their eternity. Amen. Now, Jesus didn't just come to heal the sick. He did that. He didn't just come to raise the dead, but he did that. He freed people. He made people see. He healed people. Like, all of that stuff happened. But he did all of that, all of that for one thing. And that was to die on the cross so that we could have just freedom from our sin and we could have a relationship with God and we could spend eternity with him in heaven. And that's so incredible. In John 12, 27, Jesus says, "Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." He's about to go to the cross and die. He says, "No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour." Now, it's like Jesus' plan and purpose was so simple. And our plan and purpose can be so simple. Like, it's not about doing good deeds for the sake of it, but it's doing it because we love people and we want to see them know and love God. And that's the biggest thing, you know, more than any, like, water project or any, like, physical need that we can meet. If somebody knows Jesus, that changes their entire eternity. And that is way, way bigger. I don't, you know, you can't even describe how much bigger that is than somebody's actual life. So I, like, let's not get too excited. Like, I want to get excited about the things that we're doing in the world. Like, don't get me wrong on that, because I think it's really good and it's what God wants us to do. But let's not get so, like, caught up in the good deeds that we do that we forget about the eternal significance of what we do. You know, it's not just a handout, but it's doing things so that people might know the love of God, yeah? So that then they might not be separated from God for eternity, but they would have eternity with Him in heaven. And I don't know about you, but I wanna get to heaven and know that there are people from all over the world that are there with me and with God because we did something about their physical need to meet their eternal need, amen? So I just, let's not forget that like all of what we do and every one day and every like community action is not just to help people's physical need, although that is so important, but it's to do something about their eternity, amen? And I want to be, I don't want to be like Shalom, I want to be like Josiah and just live for God with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength, yeah, amen? I'm done, I'm going to pray. God, I thank you so much for everything that you have given us and everything that you have blessed us with. God, I pray that we would just respond to the challenge that you have for us and our hearts would just line up with yours, God. That we wouldn't just see the things that are going on, the things that we can do in the world as good deeds or a good idea, but we would understand that it's for your cause, it's for the cause, God. And that if we would open our hearts to what you have a heart for, God, that you would move in an incredible way right here and around the world, God. And we would see people not only blessed and not only their physical needs met, God, but we would see people come to know you. People come to have forgiveness for their sin and freedom from everything in their life, God, and eternity with you, Lord. And I just pray that you would stir our hearts to do everything we can for people's physical needs, but God, to never forget that it's about their eternity as well. God, thank you that as we connect our hearts to yours, that we get closer to you, God, and help us to do that more and more and more. Thank you, God. Before we finish, and we're going to finish with our one day offering, I want to give you a chance to start a relationship with God if you've never done that before. You know, I was just talking about like your eternity and having like doing something of eternal significance, and that's just as true for somebody in Vietnam as it is for you here right now. And so I want to pray with you. If you want to know God, you want forgiveness for your sins, and you know that you just, you know, you're not right with him, you're not close to him, you're far away, maybe never felt like you were close to God, or maybe you have before but you just really feel far from him tonight, then I want to pray with you, and I want us just all to pray together. So the guys are going to put this prayer up on the screen, and just if that's in your heart, then pray it with an open heart. Amen. We're going to pray together. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I'll follow you. Amen.